you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labor and strive that we may put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. On today's Mark and Friends, I have the joy of sharing the opening message delivered by Pastor H.B. Charles, pastor of Shiloh Metropolitan Baptist Church in Jacksonville and Orange Park, Florida. He spoke recently at the National Religious Broadcasters Christian Media Convention in Nashville, which I had the blessing to attend. And friends, he brought the house down, but not with personality, not with theatrics, not with clever marketing strategies. He brought the word. Pastor Charles reminded every communicator in the room, preachers, broadcasters, writers, podcasters, that in a world drowning in words, just words, the church must stick with the scriptures. Drawing from 2 Timothy 3 and 4, he calls us back to confidence in the inspired, unfailing word of God. If we believe the Bible is breathed out by God, then to trust it is to teach it. To believe it is to proclaim it. To build on it is to stand on the promises that cannot fail. As you listen today, I want to encourage you, whether you're in ministry, business, parenting, or simply walking faithfully with the Lord, ask yourself, am I standing on the promises or just sitting on the premises? Here now is Pastor H.B. Charles.
I was asked to speak on the topic that all may see your progress. Many years ago, Samuel Langhorne Clemens went to church on a Sunday morning. After the sermon, he told the pastor that he had a book at home that contained every word that pastor had preached that morning. The pastor assured Clemens that his message was original and that he had not plagiarized anyone else's sermon, but Clemens insisted that he had a book at home that had every word that pastor had preached that day. When the pastor asked to see the book, Clemens promised to send it to him, and he did. That week, the pastor received the parcel, he opened it up, and when he opened it up, what he found was a dictionary. And in the leaf of that dictionary, Clemens wrote words, just words, and then signed it with his pen name, Mark Twain. I wonder tonight, friends, how much contemporary preaching can be described that way. Words. Just words. For that matter, how much Christian preaching and writing and music these days is just words. So much of contemporary preaching and proclamation is just words that there is now a conspiracy against preaching that is widespread in our land. The unbelieving world around us thinks that Christian preaching is just religious nonsense. Many congregations prefer pulpit entertainment over biblical exposition. And then too many pastors desire to be quote unquote life coaches, whatever that means. rather than faithful heralds, messengers, and ambassadors for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. This reality should not surprise us. In the beginning of 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul warns Timothy that he will have to minister in perilous times, difficult times, times of difficulty. But if you keep reading to the end of 2 Timothy chapter 3, there you'll find that Paul does not give Timothy a new strategy for the changing times. He simply tells Timothy to stick with the scriptures. And that's what I want to say to you tonight. In whatever Christian communication media you have been called to, just stick with the scriptures. Why? Glad you asked. Because 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. What good work did Paul have in mind? If you keep reading, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and by his appearing, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. I am a student and an advocate of expositional preaching. By expositional preaching, I mean simply from week to week in my own pulpit, I stand and open a text and try to preach a message that is governed by the content and the intent of the text. If you look it up, you won't have to make it up on Sunday mornings. And when I'm asked why expository preaching, my elevator answer is simply because 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 and 2 comes right after 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17. If you don't have confidence in the word of God, you'll go running here and there trying to find something to say. But if you believe the Bible is the inspired, the inerrant, the unfailing word of God, to trust it is to teach it. In fact, expository preaching, biblical teaching, is not really a style of sermon. It's a view of scripture. And I want you to know that tonight, friends. How you teach, how you preach, how you sing, how you write reveals what you believe about the word of God. Pierre Marcel said it well, that preaching is the central, primary, and definitive function of the church. Sure, the church is and does more than preach, but preaching is central to all that we are and all that we do. Why? Romans chapter 10, verse 13 is a wonderful promise. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then Romans 10, 14 and 15 presents a series of dilemmas that prevent lost people from calling on the Lord for salvation. First, you can't call on someone that you don't believe in. And you can't believe in someone that you've never heard of. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? I declare, it has been and remains the will of God to save the lost and sanctify the church by truth-driven, gospel-saturated, Christ-exalted preaching and teaching by the power of the Holy Spirit. On one occasion, a pastor picked up his daughter from Sunday school after church, and as they were headed home, she announced to him that she did not want to go to children's church any longer. He asked her why. She said, because they never do anything new there. Every week, it's the same thing. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And may that little child's criticism be the legitimate indictment on the ministry that God has called you to. May you preach nothing new. May you write nothing new. May you sing nothing new. Every time you get a chance to open your mouth, may it all be about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Glory to God. How are we to proclaim Christ in such a way that will regenerate the lost, revive the saints, and reform the culture? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says to Timothy, he says, practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Paul apparently was not a church growth guru. He did not tell Timothy, if you follow my instructions, your church will explode with growth and you'll need to go to multiple services and you'll move to multi-site ministry. No, he says, if you are a good minister of Jesus Christ, all we'll see your progress. I am confronted, I am convicted by that statement. Every time I read it, hear it, or think about it, I hear Paul saying to Timothy, Timothy, if nothing else in the church is growing, it ought to be evident that you are. You ought to minister in such a way that all may see your progress. As we gather here this week, friends, there are four stages of progress represented at this convention, in fact, represented in this room. Some of you as ministers show up here at the stage of blissful ignorance. You just don't know what you don't know. You're just getting started. Don't be overwhelmed, frustrated, or discouraged. Determined to leave here making progress. Others of you are in the period of personal awakening. You're just getting a burden for how serious the call and work and truth is that God has called you to proclaim. Don't stop there. Determined to make progress. Others of you are here for strategic development. You want meaningful and measurable growth in your life and work. You're at the right place this week, determined to use this time strategically to make progress. And the goal is ministerial excellence. Our goal, every one of us, whatever the ministry may be, should be ministerial excellence. And I'm not talking about worldly showiness or sensationalism. By excellence, I simply mean if it bears God's name, it deserves our best. You ought to leave here determined to make progress in your ministry to promote the word of God and proclaim the testimony of Jesus Christ. Paul says it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. As I meditate on that verse, that is in a real sense a life verse for me. When I meditate on that passage, there are three big questions that are raised in my mind and heart. Question number one, is God well pleased with me? Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Not to man, but to God. Remember, friends, you can be a smashing success with man and a horrible failure with God. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Is God well pleased with me? The second question is this. Is my work well done? Paul says we should be a worker who has no need to be ashamed. When you present your work to the Lord for final inspection, you should not have to hang your head in disappointment, humiliation, or embarrassment. You should offer God your best so that you are a worker who has no need to be ashamed. And then he says, not only should you ask, is the work well done and is God well pleased, but is the word rightly handled? Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, because he rightly handles the word of truth. That's how we make progress. We are sticking with the scriptures, determined whether we are preachers or singers or writers or artists or podcasters. We're going to rightly divide, rightly handle the word of truth. We are living, friends, in a time and a day where there is a famine in the land for the hearing of the word of God. May we leave this convention as a mighty army, determined to proclaim the word, explain the word, defend the word, live the word, and pass it on to the next generation. Hallelujah. The old Southern Baptist evangelist Vance Havner used to tell often of his parents, who in their living room had a music box, and he would wind up the music box and it would play the great hymn of the church, Standing on the Promises of God. But then Havner says he would wind it up and the music would play, but at some point the music box would go from, he said, standing on the promises to just sitting on the premises. And I want to ask you tonight, which one are you? Are you standing on the promises, or are you just sitting on the premises? While you consider that, let me testify in closing. I'm standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Here's my favorite verse of the hymn. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. Though the howling winds of fear and doubt assail, by the living word of God, we will prevail, because we are standing on the promises of God. God be praised for his word. Hallelujah.
Oh, listening friend, what a powerful reminder. Pastor H.B. Charles didn't give us a new strategy for cultural survival. He didn't give us a clever branding plan. He gave us something far better. He pointed us back to Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed. If we truly believe that, then our calling, whether preaching, singing, writing, broadcasting, or simply living, is to rightly handle the word of truth. I was especially struck by the challenge from 2 Timothy 2:15. Is God well pleased? Is my work well done? Is the word rightly handled? Those are timeless questions. At Great News Media, whether through radio, print, events, or messages like this one, our heart is simple: to stand on the promises, proclaim Christ clearly, and pass truth on to the next generation. As Pastor Charles said so beautifully, may everything we open our mouths to say ultimately be about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thanks for listening to Mark and Friends, and enjoy a portion of this song sung by Candy Stanton, Standing on the Promises of God.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring. In the highest, I will shout and sing. of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail, because I am standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring.